Welcome back to the Veterans Advocate Podcast. My guest today is Richard Kaufman. Richard is an Army vet where he spent some years in active duty. What's unusual about his story is that while he was on active duty, he was also addicted to drugs. He did LSD and acid and all kinds of stuff like that. And back in the day, you could kind of get away with that kind of stuff a little bit more. And he's had kind of a rough life. But the awesome part of his story is that he's overcome all of that. And he went to something like 300 AA meetings in 300 days and has been sober ever since. And he helps people get back on track. So much so that he goes by the name The Comeback Coach. And he lives up to his name without a doubt. This guy is an all-around great guy and a big inspiration. And I'm glad to have made friends with him. So check him out by looking for The Comeback Coach on social media. All right, I'm going to go ahead and push record, and we'll do the fancy editing stuff later.
And just remember, there's no question that I won't answer. So oh, that's no shame tempting. In my game, brother.
That's no tempting. Shame. Don't tell me that.
Hey, we can get down and dirty. This is your show.
So, first question right off the bat, what's under the hat?
Is it on or – oh, because when I first – started doing this, I wanted to find a way to honor Chris Kyle for, lost his life trying to save other soldiers with PTSD. So I actually got in touch with his family and I asked if it's okay if every time I wear a hat, if I mentioned him and his family and his foundation. So I do it every time. If they don't allow me to wear the hat, I don't go on.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay.
And it's just, it's just a way to honor Chris, because sometimes, after years, people forget stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to be forgotten.
No, absolutely. It's a good looking hat too, by the way.
Oh yeah. See, check it out. The Comeback Coach.
Yeah.
JD made it for me.
Yeah. Southpaw, JD? Right? I don't know him personally. I've just seen him around. I have a hat that has one of his patches on there by way of, Really Designs, Ginger and David.
Yeah, they designed my shirts.
Yeah. They've done a couple for me as well. They do pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, you get in touch with JD. You should want to have him on the show. He's got an awesome story to tell.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear yours. So you sent me your bio and I read it and I was blown away. And I want to give you the opportunity to just kind of tell your story in your own words, because I think people need to hear it. So I want to give you just an open platform, if you wouldn't mind just sharing that with us.
Okay. I mean, like I said, we can, go in deep. We can go whichever way is best for your audience, because I don't know what your audiences consist of. So whatever's best for them, it's not about me. It's always about them.
I think the best thing for them is to just hear your story as you know it from your own words.
Okay. Because I don't have any cool war stories. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
No, I just have the real life, real life stories.
Yeah, man, I hear you, and you've got a good one too. So, without further ado, I want to give you this opportunity. Just have at it.
Let's do it.
All right, go for it.
We're live.
I'm here with Richard Kaufman, my friend. Hey, we've been talking about getting together for quite some time, and we finally made it happen. I want to have you on the show because I've read your bio. You shared it with me. And you have some really awesome stories. You go by the name of The Comeback Coach, and I kind of wondered why you chose that name. But after I read your bio and I talked to you a little bit, it makes perfect sense. And I wanted to have you on to share your story because it's pretty powerful and pretty inspirational. And here at the podcast, that's what we're all about, is veterans helping veterans. And I think you have some wisdom that you can share with us. So I wanted to just invite you on to share your story in your own words. So if you wouldn't mind, kind of just give us your bio, please.
All right, guys. Hi, my name is Richard Kaufman, AKA The Comeback Coach. I just want to say thank you. I'm very humbled and grateful that you guys have me on the show. My story is, I don't think it's that great a story, but when I talk to a lot of people, they're like, holy crap, you've been through a lot of stuff. So I'll just start from the beginning. Grew up poor. Mom was an addict. Father left when I was like 3 months old. So she was a nurse, working, just trying to, trying to feed a newborn baby by herself. And so she struggled a lot. We moved a lot because, like I said, she's one parent. So I must have moved like 8 or 10 different schools by the time I hit like 10 or 11 years old. Never made a lot of friends because I always figure I end up moving again. So why make build any relationships? So I became a lone wolf. I had my first drink at the age of 12. Full-blown alcoholic by the age of 13. Quit high school at 16, became an emancipated minor, which means if I would have gotten in trouble, I would have went to jail as an adult. Joined the military at 16, because back then you could join and you could ship at 17. So I joined the military and I shipped a little bit after my birthday in January when I turned 17. Got to Fort Knox, was a wise ass punk when I left, it was funny when I was a big wrestling fan when I was growing up and I loved Ric Flair. So I had my friends dyed my hair platinum. And then I said, oh my God, I'm shipping tomorrow. I have to get the stuff out of my hair. So my aunt tried to get it back to the original color. So now my hair is orange. I have long orange hair shipping off to basic training. And I got to Fort Knox and there were the hair cutters were actually fighting who was getting to shave my head first. And so I got the basic training, had a hard time because I had a smart mouth, you know, kid from Jersey, you know, thought he was all tough and weighed 140 pounds soaking wet. Just had a loud mouth. Got my ass beat in basic training by somebody from down south. I put that in my book. And then I went to Fort Knox, Kentucky. I'm in Fort Hood, got stationed in Hood. I found, partied a lot. I'm away from home now. And now I'm hanging out with 25, 27-year-old guys. And I'm a 17-year-old kid. And started partying a lot. And then I found this cute little drug called LSD. And because they couldn't test for it on a piss test, that became my drug of choice. And I stayed high for like 2 years, got multiple Article 15s, lost a weapon where they actually had to shut down the base. Got a field grade Article 15 for that. And then I missed a funeral detail. I got a field grade Article 15 for that. And then they decided, you know, you're out. So they threw me out for being an addict and just, you know, non-conforming. Came home, moved it back in with mom. But, you know, after 2 years of traveling the world, partying, you know, mom telling you got to be home by 10. And because I had to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. They were, you know, my stepfather at the time worked 6 days a week to put food on the table. Up at 5 o'clock, work until 10 o'clock at night. And I didn't respect it at all. So they threw me out, which needless to say, I got thrown out of a lot of places. So that's a big part of my story is getting thrown out. And lived on my own for a while. I was homeless for a long time. I lived in my car. I'm probably the only guy you'll ever talk to that actually got thrown out of a crack house. That's how bad I was. Yeah, everybody gets the same look. They're like, damn, how do you get thrown out of a crack house?
That's impressive.
Yeah, but I convinced my mom to let me back in the house. I promised her I was going to go back to school. So needless to say, I went to get a job. I went to go to school to be a bartender. So being an alcoholic and a bartender, that's not a good thing. But I graduated like December 20th or something. And a friend of mine was a police officer and he owned a bar in a couple towns over. And he asked me to come see if I can come bartend for him. I said, sure. So everything was going good. This was New Year's Eve, 1988 to 89. And everything was going good. It was drinking good, giving away shots. And, you know, 8 hours later, he comes here knocking on the door with him and like three of his buddies. Warrant for my arrest. I robbed the place. I gave away like $2,000 worth of free drinks. I had like $5,000 in my pocket. And he came in, and I got to say one thing. In my life, I've had so many people that have stood in the gap for me where I could have gotten much, much worse trouble, but somebody was always there for me to save my ass. And the same police officer, he said, listen, you know, you're looking at 5 years for grand larceny. He says, you can either get the money back in 24 hours, and my aunt, my uncle, my parents to help me out, and you have to hit like 90 meetings in AA in 90 days. So I hit like 300 in a row, something like that. And I've been clean and sober since January 2nd, 1989. So I got clean, rejoined the military again. They let me back in and moved to South Carolina at this time. Still getting in trouble. I just wasn't drinking. I had a bad attitude and I was about to be thrown out for a second time at the end of September of 2001. And then 9/11 happened. And that's when my whole life changed. Because right where I'm sitting right now, we can actually see the World Trade Center from where my kitchen table is at right now. And growing up in New Jersey, you know, everybody knew somebody that worked there, had families that worked there. And something really broke deep inside of me. And I actually became a broken man. And I actually cried and cried. And I prayed to God. I said, you know, if you give me a second chance in the military, which I really didn't think I had another chance, but I figured, you know, two times, that's too much. But I called my company commander. I called my first sergeant. And I begged him to keep me. I guess they must have seen how sincere I was. They let me stay. And I finished with over 20 years in the military. I became soldier of the year. I became a non-commissioned officer. And then that's part two of my story. And the last part of my story is I moved to New Jersey. My first annual training, we're moving out, going down to Fort Dix. Vehicle broke down, so we had to pull off the side of the road to recover it. Now, when I was in the military, I never wore my Kevlar, hardly ever, except on the range. But for this day, I don't know why I decided to wear it. I was backing up the Humvee, and it was a young private, you know, probably like his first AT, we were in a Humvee, and instead of him hitting the brakes, he hit the gas, and he ran over the whole right side of my body, and ran over my head, and that's why I'm blind in my left eye, and. So on that day, not only did I lose my sight, and I didn't lose it that day, but in the future, I lost my vision, but I also lost my career, which I was fighting so hard to build. And now it was all gone. And I didn't drink, you know, over it. I didn't drug over it. But I got into a really deep, dark depression. And then one day I just woke up and I was like, you know what? I've come back from the drug addiction, came back from the homelessness, came back from, you know, getting thrown out of a crack house. I've come back from all this stuff. This is just something else I got to come back from. And I started going to the VA. I've gotten a lot of help from my local VA. They're amazing. I still go to therapists. And then somewhere around 2 years ago, now to digress, this whole time that from the age of 18 till now, and I just turned 50 in January, I've always been in the health and fitness industry. No matter where I've been, I've worked at the PX, I worked at a gym, GNC, and I was on a friend of mine's podcast. His name was Donnie Boyven. He has a podcast called The Success Champions. And we were talking about, you know, what I do now. Like in the past, I worked with guys from the WWE, Major League Baseball, NFL players like that, and getting them healthy. And then I started telling him my backstory, and I kept trying to talk more about the health stuff, and he's like, no, man. He's like, there's millions of health guys out there, you know, there's some you people need to hear your story of how you've come back from all this stuff, because some people just think that, you know, because they've had so many bad things happen in their life that they can't move on and have a better life. So that's where it all became the comeback coach. And that's when I started doing a lot of podcasts. I wrote my book, public speaking. So now I'm just trying to help veterans that are, struggling with anything health, fitness, or addiction related issues. It's a big thing out there, So that's my story. And, some people, I don't think it's a big deal, but some people are just like, well, how do you keep going? I'm like, you can't quit. You can't just roll over and die.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, don't sell yourself short, because that's a really awesome story, man. Any one of those three things, would have undone somebody. But I mean, from going out of the military the first time and the addiction issues and then having a military 2.0 and then, getting run over on top of that, man, you've got a track record of just being a tough dude, and that's pretty inspirational. And I think people need to hear that story, so definitely don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's just, there's other guys that, that have been through so much worse. So to me, it's just, I have a lot of people that I talk to, I've interviewed, they're Navy SEALs, they're special ops. I'm like, they got stories, to where me, it's like, I don't really have that many great stories to tell, military wise.
Yeah. Well, everybody has a job to do, and we can't all be Navy SEALs, but
yeah,
every job is important, otherwise the military wouldn't have it.
Mm-hmm. So, now I just go around and talk to people and, help people realize that. Like, I just did my own show I have every Monday night. It's called the Monday Night Comeback. It's just that your past doesn't have to dictate your future. Just because you had a rough upbringing doesn't mean you have to be, your ending doesn't have to be like your beginning was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you have any kind of long-lasting health issues from getting run over? I know the first time we tried to get together, you had to postpone because you were getting eye surgery.
Yeah. I had a traumatic brain injury. So it was weird. Like, we went out to dinner the other night and I feel, and we went out to dinner and the check was like $38. And I wrote out the bill and the lady came back. She's like, did you really just leave me an $80 tip? I'm like, no, I wrote out the wrong amount, tip amount. It was supposed to be $8 and I wrote out for 80. Just my mind has been, slips a lot, forgetting stuff. It's, not sleeping. Sometimes I have to take something to sleep or I won't go to sleep. With my eye, I had, I was blind, like I said, blind in that eye. So now, I can't see anything here. So if there was ever a punch thrown at me, I won't be able to see, yeah. There's a lot of things, but I try not to use it as as an excuse. I mean, I joke around, like my wife, if I drop something, I'll be like, my eye. And she'd be like, yeah, your eye, but my kids, they joke around with me, it's in our house. It's not a taboo subject. Because it is what it is. It's who I am. I struggle with some things sometimes, but like everybody else, a lot of people that are on social media, they don't tell you the real story or who they really are. And, I'm just that guy. If you meet me now, I'm going to be the same goofy guy that meets you outside for lunch. I'm just going to be the same guy all the time. So, no. I have my struggles, and I have my struggles with the depression, but then I look at it and I'm like, all right, maybe I can't see in one eye, but at least I have one eye, so I try to throw a positive spin on anything that's going on in my life.
No, you do a good job at that, man. I see your stuff all over social media. You're always going live. You're always talking to people on different podcasts. You're all over the place. And that's why I wanted to talk to you, is because You're just a genuine dude. Like you said, there's some people who kind of put their best face forward and gloss things over, and that's cool. I get that. But there's something to be said for just being the real deal all the time. And that
we went up to the military conference in D.C. Military influencer conference, where all the so-called military influencers go to, And I told all the guys, you know, before I met, I'm like, if I meet you guys up there, you're all getting hugs. Because I'm not that whole shake hands. So they kind of were in shock when I got up there. And there's these big Navy SEAL guys, and I'm giving them hugs. I'm like, I told you, that's who I am. You know, and I think they appreciated. And actually, one of the guys that I did hug, he's like, he talked to me like a month later. He's like, I haven't been hugged as a man my whole life. He's like, my father never hugged me. He says, this, you know, he said he felt so good that somebody else, you know, showed him some affection and not wanting anything. You know, because a lot of times we're all hoo-hoo and manly. You know, like if I'm friends with somebody, I'll tell you I love you and I got no problem with it. And I think a lot of that's missing today. And I think that's why a lot of people, they gravitate towards me, because that's, you know, that's who I'm going to be and that's who I am.
No, absolutely. You know, and I think us veterans, that rings doubly true. You know, it's when you're in the military, you know, you're around your buddies. And when you're out of the military, a lot of times you can kind of feel like you're on an island. And you might have some civilian friends or some coworkers, you know, that you're friends with, but it's just not quite the same. You know, there's a little bit different level of friendship, you know, when you're serving together and you guys are on deployments or exercises or just, you know, at work, just hanging out, goofing around like you do when you're stateside. You know, you can't really act like that. And that's kind of tough sometimes. So, yeah.
It's like I talk to, you know, I tell to my civilian friends or family, like, some of my best times were just sitting on the middle of a tank in the middle of the desert at 3 o'clock in the morning, just talking shit to each other, you know. But those four guys, you know, we knew about each other's families, the wives, the kids. It's kind of like you became the brotherhood, you know. So it's, and when you get out, it's kind of like, okay, you know, for me, the hardest part when I got out the last time is I didn't have a mission. You know, it's kind of like, okay. And the hardest was for me was kind of like, you know, I became Sergeant Kaufman. You know, that was who I was. Like, if I ever got pulled over, I never showed a driver's license. It was always my military ID. You know, I was always Sergeant Kaufman. It's like, you know, and then once you lose that and you're no longer Sergeant Kaufman, and then you got to figure out, all right, well, who am I really? And yeah. I think that's for me, that was a big struggle to figure out, you know, who I was, you know, once the title was taken away from me.
Yeah, you got to kind of reinvent yourself a little bit. You know, it's so much more than just a job change. It's a, you know, it's a psychological event in your life. And a lot of people aren't really prepared for that, because I feel like they don't really teach us that either. If you go to TAPS, they might teach you how to write like a kind of a crappy resume, and then they might give you some real general advice. But I feel like that program isn't very good, and there needs to be better resources. And I think, you know, for me, having this podcast is my way of kind of filling that gap and talking to guys like you. So I always ask a bunch of advice from these guys that I talk to, because I know that there's probably somebody listening who's going to benefit from that. They might hear something that they never got told in the military about what it's like getting out of the military and going into the civilian world. So I always try to tie it back into that. So when you said you needed a mission, would you say that you found it now with the comeback coach?
Well, it's kind of, you know, like to go back a little bit, I was in, they called medical hold for like a year and a half, to where you have to go. I had to go sit every month, once a month during my duty, wait for them to decide what they're going to do with me. And 80% of the people would go down there. Like, we used to play checkers and chess and all that stuff. But then I started reading books, and I started, you know, getting books by like, Robert Kiyosaki. And then I kept hearing this guy, Gary V. Everywhere it was Gary V. So I started getting all his books, and I started, you know, listen to his podcasts and his shows. And then I started getting into the whole social media thing. And I actually met Gary about 2 years ago, I think. Talked to him for a little bit, which is pretty cool. And then, you know, when I got on my friend's podcast, and he started telling me, you know, that this things need to be heard, And then I got in touch with a foundation called Joint Task Force 22-0. It's my friend Mark Cavalli's group. And we had lunch, and we started talking about the 22. And he was like, "Dude, do you know that the number 22 is bullshit?" And I was taken aback, and I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "The real numbers are 35 first responders, including 22 veterans and 2 active duty soldiers, commit suicide every day, with only 22 states reporting suicides."
Yeah.
So we're looking at 100, probably over 100 suicides a day.
Yeah, and the two of the biggest states don't report, California and Texas. Yeah.
So that's when I decided, you know, wait a minute, let that become my mission, to where I can help save as many lives as I can. You know, even if it's just telling my story, you know, that's why I put the book out, you know, because it's figured some people don't listen to podcasts yet. Some people don't, you know, don't watch Facebook Lives. So, you know, maybe they'll pick up the book and read about it and get help that way. So now it's my goal. My goal is to save 1 million lives. So that, you know, that's, and if, but, you know, like I've had one guy, it was last month, I think, he was just about to commit suicide. He had the weapon, he had his weapon in front of him, and he chambered around and he put the weapon down, and one of his friends tagged him in one of my live videos. So he watched the live video that I was doing, decided that his past doesn't dictate his future, called 911, put himself into a hospital, and now he's getting help. And he gets to be a father to his 3-year-old daughter. So that is pay, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, if I can do that 1 million times, that would be amazing. But if I don't, that's the only person, you know, I changed his world.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you can only do it to one person, that's still an awesome accomplishment.
Yeah.
And there's probably even more than that who you don't know about. You know, because so many guys are on the sidelines. They're maybe lurking through some of the Facebook groups, and they see something inspirational, and maybe, you know, it clicks with them. They might not tell you about it. They might not like it, comment, share it. But, you know, you're reaching a lot more people than what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I've had people say that, you know. So I think, you know, I'm doing a good thing. But now as I'm starting to get more, I don't want to say known, because I hate that phrase. But, you know, just that the word's getting out there, I'm starting to see I'm going to get on bigger planes, not like plane literally, but, you know, starting to get out there more, starting to get out there, you know, nationwide and worldwide. So, you know, that's my goal. But like I said, if I don't do it for money whatsoever. I just do it to save lives, you know, and I think that's one thing a person, like, if you bought my book today, it costs 99 cents and I don't make any money off it. The money goes to Joint Task Force 22-0. So it's always giving back and, you know, doing something for somebody else, because it all pays off in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned that you were homeless for a while. I don't know if you know this or not, and I always bring this up in every episode. I worked a lot with homeless veterans. I'm in Wichita, Kansas. And I work with a couple of ladies, it's a mother and a daughter, who were watching the news one day, and the news report had a news segment of a local homeless veteran who died underneath a bridge from cold exposure. And they were pretty upset about that. So they started calling around and trying to find out, you know, what is being done locally to help homeless veterans. And the answer was nothing. No programs, no city, no state, no county, no church groups, nothing. So they're like, all right, well, now we know what to do. So they started an organization called Passageways, and they bought a house, and they just started taking homeless guys off the streets, homeless veterans, and housing them. But it's not just a place for them to live. It's a transition facility. So it's not, okay, stay the night, and then you go back to being homeless the next day. It's like, no, you live in this house until you're no longer homeless. So they bring them in and they get them hooked up with the VA. They get their benefits rolling. They get their health care. They get them hooked up with psychological stuff donated from the university. Then they set goals. And these guys set their own goals. And they may say, okay, in 12 weeks, I want to be independent again. And okay, cool, let's do that. Some guys, it's 3 weeks. Some guys, it's 9 months. And everyone's different. But to date, they've had 86 people pass through that house and graduate their program. And of those 86, none of them have gone back into homelessness. And then when they graduate, they get an apartment and it's fully furnished. And Catholic Charities donates a ton of stuff. We've got a massive amount of just local volunteers who got something, give it to Passageways. And then they give them like a year's worth of cleaning supplies and 3 months of food. So when wow. these guys get into this house, they're in this house and it's an apartment. You know, it's usually like a subsidized government kind of thing. The United Way helps with that too, I believe. But they have everything they need. So for 3 months, they don't even have to worry about anything. So it's that transition thing, right? So you're not going from homeless to in a shelter to independent. You know, there's a transition. You know, you got 90 days before they even have to think about paying a bill or go grocery shopping. You know, it gives them just a little bit of breathing room. And that's why it works, is, you know, because it's catered to these guys' needs.
And sometimes you just need a hand up.
Yeah.
You don't need a hand out, but you need it. Sometimes you just need a little hand up.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, and that's why I love talking to guys like you, because some of those guys are listening to this podcast right now. You know, because I've interviewed the ladies on this show and they listen to the show, you know, so they're listening to you. You know, you mentioned that you were once homeless, right? So yeah. These guys are drawing inspiration from you right now. Just
well, the funny thing is, like, where we're sitting, I'm sitting at now, like 4 miles away, is I can drive past the same place where I was homeless at. It's amazing that, you know, and I'm so blessed and I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my three beautiful children, you know, that God's given me a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance. You know, and like I said, you can't let your past, you know, dictate your future at all.
No, that's sound advice, man. I want to thank you for sharing your story, but I always like to kind of end it with two questions. One of them you kind of already touched on a little bit, but what was it like for you when you got out of the military? You know, a lot of guys struggle with transition. So I kind of just like to ask you, what was it like when you transitioned, and what advice would you give anybody who's looking at getting out of the military today?
Well, the first time I got out, you know, I got thrown out. I thought, you know, just because I was a veteran, that the whole world was going to open up to me and thousands of jobs were going to become available. And it was just wasn't that way. So I, you know, had to start from the bottom. And then when I got out, you know, when they retired me, it was really, really hard for me, because even though I was working a full-time job, everything in my life was built around the military. My weekends, my summers, you know, soldiers calling me for help and going to correspondence courses. And then when I got hurt and to be done, retired, and those weekends would come where I know my friends were having drill weekend, or they were at AT, or they were doing stuff and knowing that I couldn't be there. It was really, really tough transitioning out of that. And that's why I said, you know, I'm so grateful that I found the mission that I'm on now. I finally have something to, you know, look forward to as far as helping, you know, because even when I was in the military, it was always just about helping people that can't help themselves. And then when I lost that, now I've found that to where now I'm helping people out of uniform instead of, you know, I used to help people in uniform.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so if you had the one piece of advice to give people, what would it be? Find a mission?
For two things: stay humble and stay teachable. Find good mentors. Just like Gary Vee was a good mentor for me. He's the one that came up with the comeback coach. And that's why if anybody ever is looking to see what I'm doing, if they hashtag the comeback coach, it comes up on all my social media. But, you know, just stay humble and to be teachable, you know, because sometimes, like, I could talk to a younger guy like you, I'd pick up more information than you would pick up from me. But if I had that pride chip on my shoulder, I'm older than him, and he doesn't know nothing, then I would never be able to learn anything new. So.
Yeah. No, that's good advice. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, so thank you.
If anybody wants to get a hold of you, can they just look up hashtag the comeback coach? Do you have a website? Yep.
Too? They can go to www.richardkaufman.net, and that's on Google. And or like I said, they can just hashtag the comeback coach on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, everywhere. So.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a cool story, man. I want to thank you again for coming on the show and sharing your story with us and giving us some advice.
Well, thank you for having me. And I'm truly grateful. And my tagline is, you know, everybody loves a comeback story, and you're next. So make it happen.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks again.
Thank you guys so much.